Well, these readings have begun to tell us what the point is. I have to assume that Jesus did a terrific job washing his disciples' feet, but that was never really the point, was it? They are all already clean. Jesus even says as much. If washing were truly a need, it would have happened the moment they entered the home, and not when it does, when the supper is mostly finished. The real point is not the action itself, but the relationship that manifests within it. That's what matters. The relationship that manifests within it. Despite all that was going on outside, the rumblings of riot, the purpose is clear. Through all that hustle and bustle, the noise and distraction, seeing the other and serving them genuinely through all of it. If God kneels and washes our feet, dare we do anything less? The year to come, my friends, will be challenging. From spring and summer right through the first week of November. The performative noise swirling around us every day will only get louder, distracting us more and more from God's lesson shown in this passage. The mysteries of our faith are truly profound, and yet at times they confound us, don't they? We begin the sacred triduum by remembering how Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist. Jesus changed the bread and wine into his body and blood to show us how perfect his love is for us. And so we celebrate in memory of him, as he commanded us to do so. And yet, other than parts of those other readings which mention the body and blood of Christ, the gospel portion only mentioned Jesus having supper with his disciples, and then the focus turned to the washing of the feet. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. That confounded his disciples, that's for sure. And it should also confound us. We might ask, what does the Holy Eucharist got to do with the lowly washing of feet? When we think about it deeper, we will see that the Eucharist is for everyone, regardless of the state of holiness or sinfulness or worthiness. In other words, Jesus offers his love for saints as well as for sinners. We know this, but we have to hear it and hear it and hear it. In the washing of the feet, Jesus is showing us that he cares about the lowest, the neglected, even the despised. Jesus gave us the example of humility and charity by being that servant who washes the lowly feet. In partaking of the Eucharist, we follow Jesus by being servants of humility and charity. In partaking of the Eucharist, we become servants to the lowly and to the lowest, to the neglected and the despised. In partaking of the Eucharist, we will go down on knees with Jesus and wash those lowly feet. This is what Jesus, our Lord and Master, did. We follow Jesus and do likewise. When we accept this commandment, we walk the path of joy. When we internalize this law, we become happy. Joyfulness, happiness. And so the paradox. Happiness is never a function of filling oneself up, which we sometimes might think. It's the wonderful function of giving oneself away, of emptying, kenosis. Happiness is never a function of filling oneself up. It is the wonderful function of giving oneself away. We've all done it. We know how that feels. Happiness, joy, those are the things that come when we do that kind of love. When the divine grace enters one's life, and everything we have is the result of divine grace, The task is to contrive a way to make it a gift. In a sense, the divine life, which exists only in gift form, can be had on the fly. The divine life, which exists only in gift form. But notice, please, that we are to love with a properly divine love. I have called you my friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. Radical, 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 complete, excessive, over the top, extravagant love. Let us continually remind ourselves that, from God's perspective, the other is only ever in us, but in different shoes. The other is only ever us, but in different shoes.